would start singing a merry hey-ho work song and would converge on whichever menhir had made itself most obnoxious recently. Hop, hop, over the side it would go, to the accompaniment of dire threats and foul curses. Those stones that pretended to senses of humor would yodel fearfully all the way to the ground. Damn fool crazies. No matter how the bleeding rocks fell, they always landed upright, cat-like. The show scared the crap out of the rare peasant, unlucky enough to witness it. The stones were the plains' creatures and tree gods' communications lifeline. They spoke to one another mind to mind, though Bowman's was not about to give them credit for true sentience. No one would tell him squat, but he suspected old Father Tree himself was running this operation. Whatever this operation was, from the nether end. One of those little things he found disconcerting was the fact that no matter how many stones went over the side, the menhir population never diminished. In fact, some of the same old stones turned up back abroad. Goddamned insanity. Aye, Seth Chalk, you sour old fart. You figure out how to screw us over yet? Gah! The talking buzzard had come. Bowman replied with a gentle, tricky gesture, consisting of wrapping his hand around the bird's neck. Just you personally. Carrion breath. Eyes watched. Nobody moved. Nobody took it seriously. The Torque brothers whooped it up.
Way to go, old man!
Paddlefoot gobbled in his outlandish lingo.
Tie his goofy neck in a knot!
Morons, Bowman's muttered. I'm surrounded by morons. At the mercy of cretins. Louder.
I'm going to tie your neck in a knot and braid your toes if you don't lay off the Seth Chalk and start calling me Bowman's.
He turned loose. The buzzard flapped off, squawking,
Chalk's on a rampage! Beware! Beware! Chalk's gone berserk!
I'll go to hell. Marooned with lunatics. General laughter and foolery of a sort he had not seen since his student days. But Darling and Silent neither laughed nor stopped watching him. What the hell did he have to do to make them understand that he was on their side?
Ha!
It hit him out of the blue, an epiphany. They did not distrust him, because it was he whose bumbling had wakened the old evils and loosed them to walk the earth for another dark century. He had done his part in the rectification. Now, they knew what had moved his researches in the first place. His quest for tools with which to gain power. His fathomless infatuation with the lady, which had so distracted him he had made the mistakes that had allowed her to break her bonds. They might believe he had been broken of his hunger for power, but would they ever believe he was free of his thing for that dark woman? How could he convince them when he had yet to convince himself? She had been a deadly candle to many a man's moth, and the flame did not